Lehrabschlussprüfungen für Kauffrau, Kaufmann. BIFOL 2018. Englisch. Hörverstehen. Serie 2. Each part of this listening comprehension will be played twice. Task A. Look at the notes below. Listen to the monologues. Fill in the missing information. You now have 20 seconds to look at the tasks. Now listen. 1. A complaint on an answer phone.
Hello, this is Jack Lewis speaking from H&C Computing Systems in Manchester. We had two printers delivered last Friday. On Tuesday morning, we contacted customer service because one was already out of order, and they promised to get back to us within 2 days. We've been waiting for this for 3 days now, but they still haven't returned the call. Please inform us immediately via email how you want to resolve the matter. We need two printers as soon as possible. My email address is j.lewis@hc-cs.co.uk. That's hc-cs.co.uk. Thank you very much.
You are going to hear the text again in about 5 seconds.
Hello, this is Jack Lewis speaking from H&C Computing Systems in Manchester. We had two printers delivered last Friday. On Tuesday morning, we contacted customer service because one was already out of order, and they promised to get back to us within 2 days. We've been waiting for this for 3 days now, but they still haven't returned the call. Please inform us immediately via email how you want to resolve the matter. We need two printers as soon as possible. My email address is j.lewis@hc-cs.co.uk. That's hc-cs.co.uk. Thank you very much.
Now go on to part 2. 2. An information update.
Hi Louise, it's Kate. I'd like to give you a short update on tomorrow's company visit. We're arriving in Zurich on flight LX451, coming in from London City Airport. It's scheduled to arrive at 10:40 a.m., so please have a car ready to pick us up at 11:15. Oh, and our head of production has decided to join us for the trip last minute, so could you please organise an additional hotel room for him? That would then be 6 in total. If you need any more information, please call my secretary Jill on 0044-207-946-0140. You can also reach me on my mobile on 0044-770-943-725. Thanks a lot.
You are going to hear the text again in about 5 seconds.
Hi Louise, it's Kate. I'd like to give you a short update on tomorrow's company visit. We're arriving in Zurich on flight LX451, coming in from London City Airport. It's scheduled to arrive at 10:40 a.m., so please have a car ready to pick us up at 11:15. Oh, and our head of production has decided to join us for the trip last minute, so could you please organise an additional hotel room for him? That would then be 6 in total. If you need any more information, please call my secretary Jill on 0044-207-946-0140. You can also reach me on my mobile on 0044 07700943725. Thanks a lot.
This is the end of Task A. Task B will begin in about 20 seconds. Task B. You will now listen to radio journalist Greg Mayweather talking to Andrea McAfee, an automation specialist, about the future of some professions. For each question, mark the best answer, A, B, or C. Take one answer only. You now have 30 seconds to look at the task. Ready?
Good morning and welcome to Timelines. My name is Greg Mayweather, and today I'm going to talk to Andrea McAfee, a specialist for automation at the MIT, about how some jobs may change in the future and others won't. Andrea, welcome to the program.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
Andrea, the world around us is changing at a breathtaking speed, but it's not the first time this has happened, is it?
No, it isn't. Almost 100 years ago, the US horse population peaked at about 26 million. There's been, of course, a steady decline since then, thanks to the growth of machines, most notably cars. Today, many workers may face a similar destiny. They could be made redundant as society becomes more and more automated. The fear of robots replacing jobs is real. However, it's more real for some jobs than it is for others.
Yes, that's been in the news for a while now, hasn't it? Can you give us an example of a job that is in particular danger?
Generally, jobs that only require a high school degree are most in danger. Take cashiers, for example. These jobs don't require much human skill, so they're easy for machines to handle. In the USA, as many as 7.5 million retail jobs are at risk of automation in the next decade. Many supermarkets and drugstores already offer self-checkouts. Another thing is that some fast food chains, like McDonald's and Wendy's, have added kiosks in some restaurants, allowing customers to place orders on a touchscreen. At Amazon's new Seattle-based concept store, Amazon Go, there are no checkout lines or cash registers at all. The payment process is automated through the customer's smartphone, so customers who have the app can simply walk out of the store with the purchased goods.
Wow, that's incredible. But as you said before, not all jobs can be done by robots, so let's have a look at where human workers are still first choice.
A human touch is essential in healthcare, making roles such as physicians and nurses among the least likely to be replaced by machines. Computers are increasingly good at making medical diagnoses, but patients don't want to get diagnoses from an impersonal computer. They want to get it from a person who can help them understand and accept often difficult news. These emotional skills are very complex, and therefore it's not possible to teach them to a robot. Not yet, at least.
Yes, that sounds logical. Are there any other jobs best done by humans?
Sure. Jobs that involve leading and inspiring others should also be safe from a robot takeover. Take a youth sports coach, for example. Winning is hardly the most important part of the job. What matters is the ability to get young people to work well together in pursuit of a goal, to teach them to be good and supportive teammates for each other, and to develop their characters through athletics. In addition, a robot is unlikely to be able to identify leaders, manage people with difficult personalities, and help the team form a bond.
Ah, I see. The jobs we've discussed so far all require emotional skills that are difficult to learn for robots. Are there jobs requiring other skills that are too complex for a robot to learn?
Yes, of course. Hairstylists, for instance, are among the least likely to have their work automated. Robots are cool, but they're not superhuman. There are, on average, 150,000 hairs on a human head, and each tiny one would need to be cut to an exact and differing length. Will scientists and engineers eventually be able to design a robot that can master those operations? Not very probable in our lifetime.
Oh, I'm glad to hear I'm not going to have my hair cut by a machine any time soon. Thanks, Andrea, for this interesting update. We'll be back after the break for some more info on the latest technological updates.
You are going to hear the text again in about 10 seconds.
Good morning and welcome to Timelines. My name is Greg Mayweather, and today I'm going to talk to Andrea McAfee, a specialist for automation at the MIT, about how some jobs may change in the future, and others won't. Andrea, welcome to the programme.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
Andrea, the world around us is changing at a breathtaking speed, but it's not the first time this has happened, is it?
No, it isn't. Almost 100 years ago, the US horse population peaked at about 26 million. There's been, of course, a steady decline since then, thanks to the growth of machines, most notably cars. Today, many workers may face a similar destiny. They could be made redundant as society becomes more and more automated. The fear of robots replacing jobs is real. However, it's more real for some jobs than it is for others.
Yes, that's been in the news for a while now, hasn't it? Can you give us an example of a job that is in particular danger?
Generally, jobs that only require a high school degree are most in danger. Take cashiers, for example. These jobs don't require much human skill, so they're easy for machines to handle. In the USA, as many as 7.5 million retail jobs are at risk of automation in the next decade. Many supermarkets and drugstores already offer self-checkouts. Another thing is that some fast food chains, like McDonald's and Wendy's, have added kiosks in some restaurants, allowing customers to place orders on a touchscreen. At Amazon's new Seattle-based concept store, Amazon Go, there are no checkout lines or cash registers at all. The payment process is automated through the customer's smartphone, so customers who have the app can simply walk out of the store with the purchased goods.
Wow, that's incredible. But as you said before, not all jobs can be done by robots. So let's have a look at where human workers are still first choice.
A human touch is essential in healthcare, making roles such as physicians and nurses among the least likely to be replaced by machines. Computers are increasingly good at making medical diagnoses, but patients don't want to get diagnoses from an impersonal computer. They want to get it from a person who can help them understand and accept often difficult news. These emotional skills are very complex, and therefore it's not possible to teach them to a robot. Not yet, at least.
Yes, that sounds logical. Are there any other jobs best done by humans?
Sure. Jobs that involve leading and inspiring others should also be safe from a robot takeover. Take a youth sports coach, for example. Winning is hardly the most important part of the job. What matters is the ability to get young people to work well together in pursuit of a goal, to teach them to be good and supportive teammates for each other, and to develop their characters through athletics. In addition, a robot is unlikely to be able to identify leaders, manage people with difficult personalities, and help the team form a bond.
Ah, I see. The jobs we've discussed so far all require emotional skills that are difficult to learn for robots. Are there jobs requiring other skills that are too complex for a robot to learn?
Yes, of course. Hairstylists, for instance, are among the least likely to have their work automated. Robots are cool, but they're not superhuman. There are, on average, 150,000 hairs on a human head, and each tiny one would need to be cut to an exact and differing length. Will scientists and engineers eventually be able to design a robot that can master those operations? Not very probable in our lifetime.
Oh, I'm glad to hear I'm not going to have my hair cut by a machine anytime soon. Thanks, Andrea, for this interesting update. We'll be back after the break for some more info on the latest technological updates.
This is the end of Task B. Task C will begin in about 20 seconds. Task C. Listen to Priscilla O'Sullivan interviewing Lars Backstrom about a famous Finnish product, the Fiskars scissors. Please fill in the gaps in the sentences below with the correct form of the keyword or keywords. Use one or two words. You now have 1 minute to read the sentences below. And here we go.
Good morning and welcome to Classic Designs. My name is Priscilla O'Sullivan and today I'm talking to Finnish designer Lars Backstrom about an object most of us use every day. Almost all of us instantly recognise Fiskars' classic orange handle scissors, don't we?
Well, yes, that's true. This product is extremely successful, and Fiskars claims to have sold over 1 billion pairs worldwide. So there's a good chance many of our listeners have a pair at home.
Right. But let's have a look at how everything started.
Yes, sure. The Fiskars scissors were once created to be simple household tools. After many years and a few changes to their original design, they have now become a source of national pride in Finland.
Indeed, they have. But what made them so popular?
Well, everyday users may give little thought to the design of scissors, but Fiskars' shape is unique and makes the product so successful. The shape and grip of the handle are a perfect example of ergonomic performance. You take the scissors into your hand and feel the fit.
Oh, I see. Is there anything else that's special about Fiskars scissors?
Yes, Priscilla. The real game changer wasn't the shape, but the materials. Scissors available in the 1960s were very heavy and terribly expensive, so Fiskars decided to make the handles of a cheap and light material, plastic. and the blades were produced from pressed steel instead of being forged from iron.
Interesting, Lars. But the typical feature of Fiskars is their special orange colour, isn't it?
True. Fiskars has flirted with different colours over the years. Red handles, for instance, are used for the left-handed models, but the company's brand remains tied to the distinctive orange of its best-selling product.
Oh, but why did Fiskars choose that particular colour?
Ah, that's a funny story. In fact, the first samples were supposed to be produced in three options: black, green, and red. But the guy who mixed the plastic had just made an orange-colored juicer. And he had some leftovers in the machine. He wanted to use up the orange material so that they didn't waste any plastic. When Fiskars' employees were presented with the four color options, they had a vote, and orange beat black by 9-7.
That's how it goes. To celebrate this design classic's 50th birthday, the Helsinki Design Museum is even hosting a special exhibition now.
Yes, a varied collection of works of art from fashion designers, food artists, and paper cutters is on display.
Well, thank you, Lars. Now that's all for today. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another issue of Classic Designs.
You are going to hear the text again in about 10 seconds.
Good morning and welcome to Classic Designs. My name is Priscilla O'Sullivan, and today I'm talking to Finnish designer Lars Backstrom about an object most of us use every day. Almost all of us instantly recognise Fiskars' classic orange handle scissors, don't we?
Well, yes, that's true. This product is extremely successful, and Fiskars claims to have sold over 1 billion pairs worldwide. So there's a good chance many of our listeners have a pair at home.
Right. But let's have a look at how everything started.
Yes, sure. The Fiskars scissors were once created to be simple household tools. After many years and a few changes to their original design, they have now become a source of national pride in Finland.
Indeed, they have. But what made them so popular?
Well, everyday users may give little thought to the design of scissors, but Fiskars' shape is unique and makes the product so successful. The shape and grip of the handle are a perfect example of ergonomic performance. You take the scissors into your hand and feel the fit.
Oh, I see. Is there anything else that's special about Fiskars' scissors?
Yes, Priscilla. The real game changer wasn't the shape, but the materials. Scissors available in the 1960s were very heavy and terribly expensive, so Fiskars decided to make the handles of a cheap and light material, plastic. And the blades were produced from pressed steel instead of being forged from iron.
Interesting, Lars. But the typical feature of Fiskars is their special orange colour, isn't it?
True. Fiskars has flirted with different colours over the years. Red handles, for instance, are used for the left-handed models, but the company's brand remains tied to the distinctive orange of its best-selling product.
Oh, but why did Fiskars choose that particular colour?
Ah, that's a funny story. In fact, the first samples were supposed to be produced in three options: black, green, and red. But the guy who mixed the plastic had just made an orange-colored juicer. And he had some leftovers in the machine. He wanted to use up the orange material so that they didn't waste any plastic. When Fiskars' employees were presented with the four color options, they had a vote, and orange beat black by 9-7.
That's how it goes. To celebrate this design classic's 50th birthday, the Helsinki Design Museum is even hosting a special exhibition now.
Yes, a varied collection of works of art from fashion designers, food artists, and paper cutters is on display.
Well, thank you, Lars. Now that's all for today. Thanks for listening. And join us again next week for another issue of Classic Designs.
This is the end of Task C. You now have time to complete your answers. This is the end of your English listening comprehension exam. Please stop writing and hand in your paper.